We have the subject before us today of speaking the truth in love. I'm going to talk a little bit about the tongues. Tongues are very useful things. And tongues, obviously, can give great joy, and they can give great heartache also. I have a question here because we're going to be reading in a few moments out of the book of James, a couple of different passages in the book of James. Why, when James was writing a letter to Christians who were under great pressure from poverty and persecution, did he take time to talk about the role of the tongue in their lives? Think about that for a moment. He's writing to people, James is, from that church in Jerusalem, and they are suffering. They're suffering economically. Again, the Christians are being persecuted. People are even being put to death. And with all of that going on, he has said in chapter 1 at the beginning, you know, consider it pure joy when you endure various trials. How many of you remember reading that? How many of you have ever felt guilty when you read that because you did not consider it to be pure joy? I have. And yet here he is, as he's getting into the meat of this letter, he begins to talk about the tongue. And it suggests to me that our words are far more important than what we think they are. Ephesians 4, verse 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is, Christ. Now in James chapter 1, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Now, I want to take a moment here for clarification and amplification. I think we are at that point in history where many people in God's church seem to think that it would be a wonderful thing if we were all full of anger and all full of rage all the while. I'm serious. I've heard so many people in the last 20 years, and I understand where they or where you are coming from when you say, it's time for us to get really angry. I would just point out, it's time for us to be really motivated, but not necessarily really angry, because God doesn't believe that our anger accomplishes a great deal. Our anger doesn't accomplish except as we take that anger and we turn it into positive action. In the end, God's plan for winning this great world of ours is love. It is not anger. And anger distorts everything that God wants to do and that God wants to accomplish. And so, if you take my counsel, which you may well not do, but if you do, I'd like you the next time that you hear somebody say it's time for us to get angry, to look at them and to say it's time for us to stop being angry and to start being full of love and use our tongues in that way, because that is the way that God works. And so he goes on, if anyone considers himself righteous, religious, and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. And then finally, chapter 3. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? So there is a connectedness in the things that James has been saying, and I'd like to point a few of those things out today. Words almost always have a greater impact than we expect. I think there are a lot of people who think that they're not heard, and in fact, you are. I think there are times that you have to get your courage up to speak to a situation. How many of you have ever been in that spot? You have to speak, and yet you don't want to. I have a great friend named Tim. He was my best man. I was his best man, just 2 weeks apart. And Tim was a youth pastor in Flint, Michigan at the same time I was. He's a year older than I am, and just a great guy. Has a fantastic ministry of counseling now. Tim called me up. We'd spend our days off together quite often, and he said, "John, I need your help." I said, "Well, why?" He said, "Well, I had body work done on my car, and I'm not happy with it." Are there any of you who have been in that kind of situation? He said, "So I know that I need to go and I need to talk to Ray about it, but you know me." I knew him better than he thought. "You know me," he said. "I have a hard time speaking up about that kind of thing, and I don't think it bothers you, so would you come with me?" I said, "I guess." I didn't know how much good I could do, and went through the door. Fella comes up, all smiles. "Hey, how you doing, Tim?" "I'm not happy, Ray!" Whoa, he found his voice. How many of you have ever found your voice in a situation like that? I knew what was going on. I knew that he had to work himself up to get himself to where he was going to speak about it, because his natural tendency was just to let it go, and he had decided he couldn't let it go. He was pointing out, "Look at that. It waves. It ripples. It's not looking the way it ought to look." And he could see it. Ray could see it. I couldn't really see it, but that's because I'm not any good at that kind of stuff. So Ray was good, and it didn't get totally out of hand, but I found it interesting in this sense. He had to get himself all worked up, and then when he had himself all worked up and he was ready to deal with it, he kind of went over the top a little bit. Have you ever gone over the top? Have you ever blown your stack? Really, really blown your stack. It's funny. It's funny watching someone else lose it. Now, you may not think so, and it may show that I'm not normal, but I find it amusing. I'll go back a bit further. I was in an insurance office, just out of college. Had a fellow there, his name was Bud. And Bud looked great. He was prosperous. He drove a really big car, a nice car. And he had a shock of white hair. He was so distinguished, always in an immaculate suit, glasses. And Bud was always under control. Then one day we were all in for a staff meeting. And I heard Bud on the phone. We had a group of tables and we had those old telephones, you know, with the great cords and so on, multiple lines coming into a single phone and so forth, great big gray cords. And Bud was on the phone talking with someone. Yes, yes, okay, no, I understand. No, it's perfectly okay, yes. Well, thank you very much, and hung up. And then went absolutely crazy. Boom, boom, boom. This is the phone in his hand. Boom, boom, boom. He's going on. I started laughing across the room. And Bud looked up, and he saw me laughing. And that made him more upset. And so Bud began to yell. He began to scream. He was not using proper language. He began to scream and ask me, "Do you think this is funny?" And I said, "I think this is hilarious." And so he got more upset. I wasn't being wise. Okay, I wasn't being wise. I was only 22. And Bud really went off then. And he grabbed the phone cord and pulled hard on it. And I watched as the phone cord went up the drywall, ripping a hole up the drywall. Hair was flapping around, red in the face, veins sticking out on his neck, and he ended up standing there in an aisle, panting, eyes wide, hair flopped down into his eyes, sweating, perspiring. He had gone totally nuts. And I stood there and I thought, "Bud, I'm never going to see you the same way again. I want you to just give that a moment's thought." He hadn't hurt anyone, caused a few dollars of damage, but he hurt his reputation and hurt how he was perceived by at least one young man in that office. I really had kind of almost idolized him. He looked better than Lauren Green. But after that, when he would come in his immaculate suits, silk ties, in his beautiful car, I would look at the car and I would think, debt. I would look at the tie, and I would look at Bud, and all I could see words have a great impact. Well, I guess I could ask it this way. How many of you have ever said something that you regretted saying? And typically what we do, I think, Tom, you call this puppying up or puppying out or something. We put our tail between our legs when we say something that we instantly know we shouldn't have said. And then we say, "Oh, I'm sorry. That's not really what I was thinking." Ha. That's not really who I am. And we're not honest with ourselves. Because the fact is, our words reveal who we really are. Most of the time, we have time to calculate our words. We have time to think about it. We have time to think, what is the best way to put this? When is the best time to approach them on this? What is the right mood for them to be in when I say these things? If we're wise, not everyone is, that's how we kind of approach things. But then when things happen in our lives, we don't have time to think. We simply react. You ever notice there can be a wide difference between our actions and our reactions? Now, we'll make this interactive. Which one is really us? The way we are when we act or the way we are when we react? I say both. They're both us. The problem is sometimes we're double-minded. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. When we have time and we can think it through and we can get ourselves calmed down and we can carefully calibrate, that's one thing. But when the pressures of life come, sometimes it forces a reaction when we're not expecting to have to react. And so it's just purely what's in our heart. Proper control of our words begins in our hearts. It progresses to our minds, and it ends with our tongues. I want to point out to you a couple of things here that James said in the scripture that we read. He said there in verse 8 of chapter 3, "No man can tame the tongue." I've heard that a lot of times. Heard that from Christians, heard that in Sunday school, heard it in worship, heard it a lot of places. No man can tame the tongue. Here is what is not said. You have to, when you're reading the Bible, you have to listen to what is not said just as you listen to what is said. No man can tame the tongue. He doesn't say that God can't. You can't. You can't do it in your own strength, in your own might. Why can you not do it? Because there are things in your heart, and the tongue reveals what's in your heart. And sometimes it's so very inconvenient again. When it reveals something that you don't want to be revealed, but the stress has come, the pressure has come, out it comes, and you suddenly realize, oh, wow. You ever had that moment when you realize, I didn't know I felt that way? Just wondering if it's only me. I didn't know I felt that way. It's not always, I didn't want them to know I felt that way. I didn't know that I felt that way. Do you realize that that sometimes is a grace of God in your life? That He allows you to understand sometimes what's inside that you want to hide even from yourself? And so, starts with heart. I had an awful time with my tongue when I was a young man. I continued to have a hard time with my tongue after I became a believer for a few years. On occasion, I would find myself suddenly saying something that I did not want to be saying. I would feel embarrassed. I would feel disappointed. I would feel ashamed, and I was praying about it, and I was praying about it, and I was praying about it, and I was trying. So I understand what it is when you say, well, Pastor, I'm trying. I have been there. I was crying, and I was mainly succeeding in choking bad things back, but I wasn't totally succeeding. And then one day, as I was studying the Word of God, God spoke to me and said, "You're not actually getting this because you're not realizing that what's coming out of your mouth is coming out of the heart. And until your heart is right, what's coming out of your mouth will never be perfect. You're working on the wrong thing. You're working on the mouth, and you ought to be working on the heart." And so it becomes at that point, "So Lord, why is this angry stuff in my heart?" I've been meeting people up here for a lot of years. 3.5 years here in Pulaski, 28 in Grant, 3 years in Indiana before that, and 3 years in Flint, Michigan as youth pastor before that. So quite a few years. I've been meeting people at altars, and I have a few questions that sometimes I ask. People will come and they'll say, "I'm having such a hard time with anger." Has that ever been you? It's just us here today. That's been me. Has it ever been you? Here's the question I started asking a number of years ago, and I never have had anyone tell me it's the wrong question. So who haven't you forgiven? You realize that when you have unforgiveness in your heart toward a person, you will have anger in your heart toward all people. And a lot of the time, you know, it goes way back. A lot of the time, the anger that you have in your heart is toward a parent. Maybe it's toward a sibling. Maybe it's toward that guy that kicked sand in your face when you were 8 years old. The early life embarrassments, the humiliations. And those things become hardwired within your reactions. But God would speak to you now, and I think God, for some of us, would say, "So isn't it time to go past that? Isn't it time to put childish ways behind us? Isn't it time to deal with it? How long, after all, do you want to carry the burden?" You say, "Well, it's not a problem all that often." I would suggest to you, it's always a problem. It's just that you're not always aware of it. So you're carrying a weight, and you're carrying a burden in your spirit that you don't even want to acknowledge to yourself that you're carrying. Only God is able ultimately to give you grace to forgive. But when he does, the weight that will lift from you is enormous and larger than what you now believe that it would be. I find myself every once in a while having burden lift. Maybe you've been in this situation. You knew that something was stressing you and it was bothering you, and then the thing got resolved, and then you felt the burden lift, and you suddenly realized that there was far more weight on you than what you realized that there was. You'd just gotten accustomed to carrying it. A number of years ago, I wanted to get in shape for a hiking trip, and I had a beautiful backpack I'd invested in, and I went out a couple of days, and I was carrying weight. I wanted to carry weight to get stronger with it, and I had 2 25-pound plates that I had tied to the frame of my backpack. And I got all the way out about 3 miles from Grant, and I thought, I got to carry this back. Well, I suppose I could have walked back into town without it and then gotten in the car and gone out and gotten them, but that would have been embarrassing. And so I got a bit smarter, and I got like one of these 10-gallon collapsible water jugs. Five-gallon jug. And I filled that up, with the theory being I can always open up the tap if I get too tired, and I can let some of the water out, or I can eventually let all of the water out. That made sense to me. And also, it will mold itself to my back and be more comfortable. Now, I found that I didn't ever actually have to get rid of the weight. But here's what would happen when I would get home after my 6 or 7 or 8 mile hike. I would get home and I would take that and I would lift it off and I would set it down, and I felt incredibly light. And that's what happens when you forgive. That's what happens when you decide, I'm going to let it go. That's what happens when you decide, I'm going to turn the account over to God. I'm going to allow God to deal with this because I'm tired of dealing with it. It just weighs too much. I'll tell you, it's not just anger. How many of you ever have disappointed yourself? How many of you have things that you feel ashamed of in your past? Stop. Stop. If it's forgiven, it's forgiven. You have my permission right now to take the shame and to lay it down at Jesus' feet. If it's forgiven, forgive yourself. You don't have higher standards than God. If he's forgiven it, you forgive it. If he's forgiven it, he's given you permission to let go of it. You don't have to go through life feeling shame. I don't, and the simple reason I don't is because I did understand this much when I gave my heart to Christ. It drove some people nuts, by the way. But I would say, well, I didn't do that. Well, sure you did. No, I became a new creation in Christ. And I may look the same, but I'm a different person. And so I didn't do that by way of excuse. I actually went and asked forgiveness of a lot of people and made restitutions wherever I could. Point being, if you truly have given your heart to Christ and you've asked his forgiveness and things have been forgiven, they shouldn't cling to you anymore. You realize that you can have less weight in your life if you simply cut loose the past? Well, I'll finish up. A truly spiritual person will speak words, first of all, that are true and accurate. We're living in a time when truth is in short supply. We have taken in our society right now the whole concept of you have your truth and I have my truth to a whole different level. What is reality? We're at that place. We got here in the 70s. What's reality? Well, that depends on whose reality it is. Are we talking your reality or talking mine? Am I a figment of your imagination or are you one of mine? And the fact of the matter is, reality is it exists, and it's where God dwells. God lives in the world of reality. He wants us to. There are things that are true and things that are false. There are things that are accurate and things that are not. 2 + 2 = 4. 3 + 3 = 6. The last I knew, 7 × 12 was still 84. Principles of mathematics have not changed. We use mathematics to get to the moon and back. We use it in everything we do. We use it in our computing. We use it in finance and in every other way. Math does not lie. Only liars sometimes use math. But it doesn't. We have to be very careful in this day. that we don't kind of yield to that and say, well, it doesn't really matter what I say because there's some sense in which it's true. God wants believers to be people of the truth. It needs to be pure and wholesome. Oh, I know. You wonder, well, what exactly does that mean? And where exactly am I supposed to speak pure and wholesome words, and where am I allowed to let my hair down? How many of you guys have ever been at deer camp? I just have this question. Is deer camp different than the kitchen table at home? Now I see all the wives. What do you do at deer camp? We speak freely. A lot of dirty talk? No. Well, what would it be? Guy talk? Coarse talk sometimes? Earthy talk? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we were known for our pure and wholesome talk? We speak words that are carefully considered. What effect is it going to have? I know. There are people that you just feel like you want to give them a piece of your mind. You've had that experience too, right? And you've heard me say this, I'll say it again. I have never heard one good thing come out of a person's mouth after they have said these words. I just have to get something off my chest. Every time in my life I ever heard those words, I heard nothing but destruction come out. So it's not a matter of whether you feel good on the basis of whether you say words, but what is the effect of that going to be on someone else? Our words can be like tools that build things, or they can be like a wrecking bar. And some people, their whole life is a wrecking bar. They just go through life causing pain no matter where they go. You don't want that to be you. A truly spiritual person will speak words that are merciful. Words that are healing, and words that are loving. Early 80s, I laughed. They had a book out. Didn't read it, but I laughed at it. And the idea was, real men don't eat quiche. I identified with that. Kind of had a roughness about myself in a lot of ways. And I got this picture in mind of the way that some of us go through life. We go through life as if we have a flamethrower on our back. And we're prepared to let the flames go. They're burning! Yeah, isn't it great? I made them feel really bad. Now, don't you feel good? They know now exactly who they are. No, they don't. They don't believe it. And they think that you're a jerk. Wouldn't it be great? Merciful, healing, loving. You know, the right words could change this world. The right words could change your home. They could change your relationships. They could change your place of work, place of employment. They could change that. They could change the school. The right words can change most anything when they come from the heart. Heavenly Father, I just ask that you'll help us to really devote ourselves to have hearts that are full of love, and then to allow that love to flow freely out of our hearts, through our minds, across our tongues, into other people's ears, so it will also go to their heart and then to their mind, and that we could actually build each other up in love. I pray that you'd make us aware, Lord, not so much of our words, that would be the easy way to preach it, but aware of our hearts, aware of what we're experiencing and feeling in any given moment of time. Just make us aware, and make us aware not just of us, far more so, make us aware of you. Make us aware of your presence. Make us aware of your love and your grace. And I pray that we would carry that out with us no matter where we go. Thank you, Lord, in your name. Amen.